Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P on 97.3 ESPN.
And a happy new year one more time. Hey, you're inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of November 22nd and 23rd. Happy new year when the season opens. The North, South, and Coastal Zone duck seasons have opened. The Coastal Zone's going to run till the 30th, and the North and the South Zones are going to run till the 22nd. That is of January. Don't forget, these Monday and Tuesday of Thanksgiving week coming up, the trout will be being stocked in the Rack and Fin Radio area. Most of the stocking is going to take place on Tuesday the 25th. On the Monday, coming up on the 24th, Spring Lake and Toponymus Lake up there at the top end, they're going to be getting 322-year-old rainbows each. Here we go for Tuesday the 25th. Haddon Lake's going to get 210, Rowan's Pond 100, Shores Mills Pond 210, South Violent Park Pond and Birch Grove Park 190 each, and Ponder Lodge Pond down there in the Villas 170. Heard Jeff Smith and the Trout Magnet last week. Get the magnets and you will get the rainbows. Hey man, we're really jammed up. Again, one more reminder, Thanksgiving Day, yes, all the wildlife management areas will be stocked with pheasants. Looks like statewide about 5,320 are going out. Go to page 55 of the digest for the numbers as per the respective wildlife management area. Be right back. We're talking hunters helping the hungry. It is Thanksgiving time. Yep, time to give. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Saturday night, 7 p.m. Eastern. It's an ACC battle in primetime as the 16th-ranked Georgia Tech Yellow Jackets look to remain perfect at home as they host the surprising Pitt Panthers. Join J.P. Shadrick and 1992 Heisman Trophy winner Gino Toretta Saturday night, 7 p.m. Eastern.
It's College Football Saturday on 97.3 ESPN.
College Football Saturday, brought to you by First Bank of Sea Isle City.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. on 97.3 ESPN.
Yeah, welcome back to Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Week of November 22nd and 23rd. Hey, you're tuned in 7 to 8 a.m. to 50,000 mega far-reaching watts of the Rack and Fin Radio message 97.3 ESPN FM. We're streaming live in that slot, 97.3ESPN.com. Download the 97.3 app or go to Apple, Spotify, or YouTube, and you will get the, and some other platforms, I guess. Give me the list. I don't know anything about that. And to get the podcast. The podcast is usually put up today, Saturday afternoon, or sometime on Sunday. If you don't get to hear the entire show, you want to go back into the archives. Well, it is the Thanksgiving week, the Thanksgiving season. We all have, with me, my feet hit the hardwood in the morning, and it's a day to give thanks, as it should be for everyone, because as my lovely Dee Marie says, you're not promised tomorrow. But now it's a time to give, you know, nature's bounty. We have some just the most tremendous hunting and fishing opportunities here within the confines of the Great Garden State. And one organization in particular in this charitable season that stands out, Hunters Helping the Hungry. Joining us for our annual segment, just a great guy. Tracking this guy down is tough. The last time I talked to him, he was, I guess, diving with leopard seals or something off Antarctica or orca, you know, the killer whales. Or polar bears. He was antagonizing something under the water. It is Bud Thomas. He is the treasurer with this outstanding organization, Hunters Helping the Hungry. Hey, Bud, I'm glad to see you made it back, man. How you doing?
Good, Tom. Thanks for having me on again. Appreciate it.
Real fast, listen, off the air, I said, Tom, where are you off to next? Where are you going, Bud?
The Philippines.
You're going to the Philippines of your own volition?
Yes, sir. It'll be my fourth trip out there.
Bingo Mort. And you're going to be diving. Are you going after those, what, those big, huge catfish or rays or tiger sharks? What are you doing?
No, this one's all about macro life, little tiny stuff you see under there. They got amazing things out there to see.
Yes, one thing about that part of the world, but I knew one thing from being out there a couple of times. Everything under that, those South Asian waters, like the Pacific Rim and a whole bit, wants to stab, stick, bite, or otherwise hurt you. I noticed that.
Yeah, you kind of have to watch where you are.
Oh, man. I saw a guy get lit up by one of those cone shells. You ever see those? They're like the snails with the real pretty and beautiful. Guy picked it up.
Yeah.
God, you thought he touched an electric fence.
Yep.
Oh.
Yeah, they can kill you.
Oh, man. Okay, on to more pleasant things. So, Bud, Hunters Helping the Hungry. You guys have been around since what, 1970 what?
1997.
1997. Sorry about it. I'm thinking about that cone shell incident. And, Bud, you donate, I guess, how many hundreds of thousands of pounds of venison every year? I mean, or over the years, I should say.
Over the years, since 97, when we keep track, the food bank considers a quarter pound to be one serving of venison. We have our program has contributed. We're closing in on 2,800,000 servings provided since 1997.
That's nothing short of amazing. I mean, who started this? Again, was it a club or what?
No, there were three hunters in Hunterdon County who started the program in 97. I read about it in a Hunter's Compendium, and I joined forces with them in 98.
Mm-hmm.
And I've been working with them ever since, and those three are still involved in it.
And, but now the program, I mean, the number of butchers is pretty much steady. But I we'll get into this a little later on in the segment about, you know, how can other butchers get involved. But now you get a deer and you bring it to one of the butchers. Listen, it's listed on page 36 in the Hunting and Trapping Digest. And are there fees involved? What's the dealio?
No, and it's also, our butchers are also listed on our website, huntershelpingthehungry.org.
Mm-hmm.
But there are no fees anymore. We used to have to charge the hunters a small fee to process the deer because we run entirely on private donations. Mm-hmm. But now we've been getting some grants, so we're able to wipe that out. So we cover the entire cost of the processing fee. And the butchers are getting $120 a deer to process them for Hunters Helping Hungry. So you just take it to one of our approved butchers. All of mm-hmm. our butchers have to be inspected by the state health department because obviously we don't want anybody getting sick. And we run our program within guidelines that were drawn up by the state health department and the Division of Fish and Wildlife.
Mm-hmm.
So you take your deer to one of our butchers, drop it off. There's a little form you fill out there with your name, address, and transportation tag number. And then that's it. The butcher processes the deer. Then the food bank picks up the deer from the butcher, and they distribute the meat.
Yeah, I was going to say, how is it distributed? So it gets to a lot of places, does it not?
Yeah, soup kitchens, emergency shelters, churches,
wow,
food pantries, whoever is associated with the food bank.
But have the number of deer being donated increased over the years or pretty much staying steady? Again, with the economy the way it was or is, whatever, now, I don't know, man. Some people are just holding on to their venison. What's the deal? What are you seeing?
No, it's been doing pretty good. It would be a lot better if we had more butchers. The problem is a lot of butchers that process deer, when they're approached and asked to become part of the program, they're fine until they find out that the state health department has to get involved, and then they don't want to deal with it. Because anyone who knows how to butcher a deer can just, you know, put a sign up in a local grocery store, sporting goods shop, and you can take your deer to them, and they can butcher in a garage. And that's okay, just to give it back to you. But, you know, what's in your garage? You got gas cans, you got grease guns, you got oil rags. Well, obviously, with a program like this, we don't want anybody getting sick, so we can't have that. But people that process deer that may be afraid of letting the state health department in, if they're at all interested in Hunters Helping Hungry, we have one of our butchers who's been with the program since day one. He's game butchers up in Lebanon, New Jersey. He's always more than willing to talk to people and tell them what the inspectors are looking for, what they need to pass inspection, and work with them so that when the inspectors come in, there's no issues.
That's Johnny Person up there, isn't it? And his brother?
J.B. Person, yes.
Yeah, I'm 31, yeah, southbound. Yeah, yes. I know the area well. We've brought deer there before.
Yeah, it was their father who first started with us years ago, and he passed away, and J.B. took over.
Right. Now, we have several here in South Jersey. This is a surprise guest coming on, is one of the Hunters Helping the Hunter Butchers, who's been in there for a long time. But so, again, the health department gets involved, and then does it cost the butcher anything? In other words, okay,
no,
I want to do it.
The butcher's making $120.
No, I mean so far as filing permits with the state. You guys take care of all that, correct?
No, it's not about permits. It's just the state. They would have to schedule the inspection, mm-hmm. and the inspector comes in and gives a certificate that they're okay to be used for the program. The only cost, and I understand this can be a deciding factor, is if they don't have what the state is looking for, then they're going to have to spend some money to upgrade you know, sinks, drainages, mm-hmm. whatever, coolers. So, but we have people who already have that. They still really don't want to be inspected by the state health department, and it's a shame because it could help a lot of people.
It could help a lot
and,
of people.
No, they get inspected once a year. It's not a bad thing. Mm-hmm. I've never heard anything bad about it.
And join us online is Bud Thomas, Treasurer, the outstanding organization this charitable time of year, people, the bountiful time of year, hunters helping the hungry. Well, Bud, question. Now, a lot of these guys, especially on the list here, they're especially during what they call Buck Week, Shotgun Week, and now it's all systems go that 6 day. I mean, are they obligated to take deer for hunters helping the hungry if someone comes in with it and when they're super busy, or can they say, you know, come back another day or whatever? Are they obligated to take deer if you're on their list?
No, they're not obligated. And back when we first started, in fact, the butchers would not take deer during the 6 day firearm season because they were too busy. And even right. back then, it was just a lot for them. But now they've kind of eased up on that a little bit. And so if you want to donate a deer, it's best to call beforehand before you take it there and say, hey, you know, are you taking deer for hunters helping the hungry during a 6 day firearm?
That's easy enough. Well, Mr. Thomas, what's the count so far since the early opening in September to now? Height of permit. Boy, are these bucks still running or what? One pass between me and my lovely Dee Marie within a rake and a half distance. Big body 4-point. He was like this. I mean, he was on a track or something. And he said, I could have put this rake in his antlers. That, so they're still going crazy. Permit season's still going strong. But how many deer so far?
Well, by my count, we're up to around 400, but that's probably not accurate because mm-hmm. I can only account for them when I get the invoice. So the form I talked about before where the hunter fills out, mm-hmm. that accompanies the deer to the that invoice accompanies the deer to the food bank. Then the food bank sends them to me, and I document all that. And that's how I pay the butchers as the treasurer. So I'm sure there's a lot more deer out there that I'm not aware of yet, and sure. I won't be aware of until I get the invoices sent to me from the food bank. Well, right now, my count's at 400.
These donors have a big heart, let me tell you, because me, I cherish any little piece of venison, but, you know, when you come out. Now, Bud, do you guys accept monetary donations?
Yes. In fact, you can go on our website and click on donate and donate through PayPal.
Oh, that's easy enough right there. Well, listen, Bud. Also, I was at the Sportsman's Jamboree in Gloucester County back in late April, and I saw Larry Herity, former director of Fish and Wildlife. They had a trailer there with hunters helping the hungry on it. What's the story with the trailer?
Yes, well, we bought a refrigerated trailer and a truck several years ago.
Nice.
Yeah, and so it was the Farm Bureau was actually instrumental in getting us a grant. So we bought this truck and trailer, and any of the farmers or anyone who has any special hunt going on, actually United Bow Hunters of New Jersey will have a hunt going on, and they have our trailer down there. But you just contact us through our website. If you have a hunt going on, we have a trailer that holds up to 20 deer. So we'll take the trailer down there, drop it off, and you hunt and fill the trailer with all the deer you want to donate to Hunters Helping the Hungry. And we just take the whole trailer to the butcher.
And there you go. Listen, it can't be any easier than that. Be more charitable. The harvest time of year, people out there are down on their luck, whatever. And how many millions of meals has this program provided? For more information on that, Bud said, go to the website. You can scan the QR code, again, on page 36 of the 2526 Fish and Wildlife Digest for more information. Well, Mr. Thomas, I wish you safe travels and have a good time over there. The Philippines. Whoa.
Thank you, Tom. Always good talking to you.
Hey, listen, real fast, how long is that flight?
It's actually not too bad. It's 17 hours.
Yeah.
17 or 18 hours. From straight shot from JFK to Manila.
No stopovers. That's always good. Well, Bud, travel safe. Listeners, Hunters Helping the Hungry. Go to page 36 in the Digest and go to huntershelpingthehungry.org. Find out more information. A lot of deer out there. Keep shouting. Donate for a good cause. Bud, you take care. Travel safe. I'll talk to you when you get back.
Great. Thanks, Tom.
See you,
Bud. Thanks for the call.
Yep.
Bye.
Bud Thomas, cool guy. Diving with leopard seal. Those things will chew you in half on sight. This guy is something else. Grab that cup, grab that Rebel. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
This is the radio home for Philadelphia Eagles football. The Eagles continue the 2025 season tomorrow in Dallas against their NFC East rivals, the Cowboys.
You don't do that. You don't help Cowboys to their feet.
Pre-game coverage starts at 3 p.m. with Merrill Reese and Mike Quick calling all the action starting at 4:25. This is where the Eagles play. 97.3 ESPN, South Jersey's Eagles Station. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. on 97.3 ESPN.
Here we go to the Capitol, back inside Rock and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of November 22nd and 23rd. I'm going to say it one more time. Happy Thanksgiving week coming up. I'll tell you, the surf bite, the striper bite's been insane from what? About a month ago. Working down, getting down here. Saw some caught Atlantic City. Shout out to Noel there at One Stop. Boy, that jetty there. Whoa. Getting some off the beach there, Brigantine, what have you. It was so frustrating. We're there, and the bass were just out of cast. It was lined up like the Spanish Armada. People old enough that when they still taught that in history, boats lined up, nailing them. They are moving in closer, predicated on how close the bait is getting to the beach. And joining us on the line right now is a very accomplished surf angler in her own right. Give us some tips here. What to get into the surf? Is it a matter of just walking out and lucking it out? Like, hey, hands raised, that's me. Getting a Hopkins or a Diamond Jig, whaling it out and reeling it in. What to look for? How to score when others aren't? And why are other guys, anglers, catching bass and you aren't? It's Jenny Sarah Ackerman, media coordinator of Fisherman Magazine. She's also the host. Really, it's so great. You have to check this out. Open Boat Video Series, and she's also a graphic designer with the Fisherman Magazine, and you've seen her at all the boat shows and sports shows giving her seminars. Absolutely fascinating young lady, and one hell of a rod bender, man, from like little dry fly trout to tuna. This girl does it. Sorry, Ackerman, I get talking about you, I get excited. How you doing, girl?
I'm great, Tom. Thank you so much for having me. I'm so excited to be back. You know, I think at this point, I am the undisputed Rack and Fin Radio guest of the year.
Without a doubt. And you were just on a great cover of Fisherman Issue with a striper. When was that? Was that spring or was that, that was this year?
That was last fall.
It was last fall, okay.
That was last fall, yeah.
I saw you had the Grumpy's hat on. I have a Rack and Fin hat on, but that's all right. I understand Grumpy. Jen, that was a beautiful bass. Like I said, we've been combing the beaches up and down, stopping north down to south. They're picking up bass down here. Now that's going to get better as the weeks come up. But, Jen, score, not score. You see the guys casting the same diamond jig, or they're casting the same style popper, or they're doing this. Some are scoring, some aren't. You pull up to a stretch of beach, you see a bunch of trucks, or you have, holy God, I have this whole stretch to myself. First thing that goes off in my twisted mind, okay, something's wrong here. You know, no one's here. So what are we looking for, Jen? This time of year, the bass are coming down. Sometimes, like I said earlier, they're right there. Other times, they are a far cast away. What are we looking for to connect with these stripers in this hectic run?
So very hectic indeed. Yeah, it was finger on the pulse. There was a faint pulse, and then boom, it exploded. But what you're looking for mainly, it depends on if you have a dead sea and you don't see any bait. That's when you just throw an SP or a bucktail. Like I had my biggest bass on a bucktail on a literal dead sea 2 Octobers ago. Like no bait, nothing.
Did you have anything on the buck? Just plain bucktail.
So I put my trailer on the bucktail. They're called JK baits. They're a little long, like they almost look like a little eel tail. And I say it tickles the bass's nose, and that's what makes them bite it.
Nice.
So that's like the big thing. If there's no bait, just pick something in your plug bag and throw it. Like, especially right now with up by me, we're seeing a lot of bunker, the blitz condition fishing. So if you don't see anything, like prime example, 2 days ago, I went on the beach. No one was there because everyone was a couple blocks down getting into blitz condition fishing. There's bass running up and down the coast. Like they have tails, they move. So I'm like, let me bomb a pencil out. Bomb the pencil out. Got into a bite. I had 10 fish before any guy showed up on a pencil and a glide bait. So when you have blitz condition fishing, throw out a pencil popper for top water and then throw like a twitch bait or a glide bait, something that matches that bunker perfectly. Like, I'm a big fan of the Tsunami, their twitch bait. I love.
That's a badass and bait, man. That's serious. That's good. That's really good stuff.
Those hooks are sticky. That's my old reliable when it comes to catching anything. Like, I've gotten early season bass on that this year. And then another big thing going into like our later season, like December, when we have sand eels, that's the tricky part. That's like, you got to find a spot where you see, like, potentially you could see the bass in the wash. If we have like that gin clear water, you can see them sifting the sand, sifting up the sand eel. So that's when you throw like your green Ava jigs, or you throw those Tsunami sand eels, like those. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's the hatch, you know, it's perfect.
Well, Jenny, well, let me interrupt you. And getting back to the plugs, somebody's finishes are lifelike. It's more to me, my experience, it seems to be more about profile than actual color. Like, why would they hit a chartreuse plug? Now, the lifelike finishes, you know, how many press releases did I write about this? 3D, realistic 3D eyes, etched scale finish. Is it profile or is it color? What, or is it a combination of both? Because, again, I have a guest coming on next week. He says, with a chartreuse in charge or something like that. All he uses is chartreuse, and he wails on fish. What is it, profile or color?
So personally, I think it's profile and how you work the lure.
Bingo.
Color has its points, like, but from working in a tackle shop, plug builders and retail, like, manufacturers make different color plugs to attract the fishermen more than the fish. But for me, it's the profile. If the shape is good, and when you're working it, if you figure out every different tactic on how to work one lure to get on a bass bite, you could be catching fish, whereas the guy next to you is literally throwing the exact same lure and isn't getting anything.
That's what we saw happening. I said, this is crazy. One guy, the fish concentrated right there. These two guys had his technique down. And there were people to the left and people to the right, spread out, not shoulder to shoulder like you see on opening day trout streams. But it was something to watch.
And the best thing you can do.
These guys were keyed. Now, Jenny, with the sand eels, I saw some guys having luck last year, and we did well with. Shout out to Stanley Gola, SNS, way back when. Turned me on to these the smiling the bucktails have been around longer than me. The Smiling Bill Bucktail?
Yeah. That's what I call my biggest bass on.
Guys were using the Gulp sand eels.
Yeah.
Swearing by them. These guys were catching from the beach and the jetty. So, again, matching the hatch type thing right there.
Very much so. And plus that scent from the Gulp, too. Mm-hmm. If it's like dirty water, the fish aren't relying on sight. They're relying on scent. So they smell that, they're going to hone in on your bucktail and hit it.
Okay, joining us online is Jenny Sarah Ackerman, media coordinator of Fisherman Magazine. She's also the host of the Wildly Pop. Listen, I'm telling you, you have to check it out. It's so much fun. The Open Boat video series. She's also a graphic designer and does great seminars at the AC Boat Show, all the shows. Ackerman is there. Well, Jen, working the poppers now, as the water gets colder, more fish come down. Are you, and I heard you always hear the thing, what do you call it? Like the metal lip swimmers? If you think you're going too slow, you're going too fast. Go slow. Or poppers, be aggressive. Don't be aggressive. How do you gauge what, when, and how? Just trial and error?
So, I guess you could say that. I mean, if there's been days where like it's dead on the beach and you just take your plugs out and you throw them and you see what action works best, like a slow creep of a metal lip, like you hone in on that and you see the action, you're like, oh, this is going to work great when there's fish around. Like when there's those blitz condition fishing where you see guys running onto the beach, just chucking their plugs out, like you have to kind of like have like control in that moment to like zen and like focus on if you're working a metal lip or if you're working a pencil, because sometimes that frantic like adrenaline rush could screw you up, like you could pop off a plug. So that's when you reflect on those days where you're not getting on fish and you're just practicing like test swimming all your plugs. You reflect back on like what you did there to what works and use it now that there's fish in front of you. So it's a lot. I used to play basketball, and when you take a foul shot, you remember what you did in practice, and you do it in the foul shot, and you're going to make that hoop. So it's a lot of just practice and just honing in on the craft.
Well, Jen, when you described it, you know, guys running down the beach, Rod, you know, everything flying, then he said, man, that looks like you when they opened up the new pizzeria. So I know the excitement. But, Jen, on a more serious note now, surf fishing etiquette. I mean, I've seen some horrors, and you see it in all across all aspects of it, but of sport. But beach etiquette, I mean, it seems like it's gone away, or you only see it rarely. Like when you're with a bunch of people coming down, you're on a fish, people come right next to you. Some beach etiquette tips just so tempers don't flare and Ava 47s and 67s don't fly.
Listen, surf casting is a lot different than ballroom dancing. So you're going to have the people that are very excited to get on fish, and you're going to get mugged. And it's happened to everyone. And it's the people that keep their cool and have a civil conversation if the guy next to you crosses your line. Like, those are the people that are like, all right, you're a good one. It's the people that start unnecessary beach brawls that I already heard happened this past week.
Wow.
Are just a little, like, you need to calm down. It's striper fishing. Like, people need to take a step back and think about why they're fishing. Like, I fish for fun. I'm not fishing to, you know, post a cool picture on Instagram and see how many likes I get. Like, I haven't posted a single striper this whole season because I'm just out there trying to have fun and enjoy my fall before blackfish season opens. So people just need to just relax and think about what the purpose they're fishing for is, like fishing for fun. Like, and then just enjoy it. And if someone around you, like, I do this all the time. Like, I'll look at the people around me. If someone's, like, struggling, like, their lines are tangled or, like, they're not, they don't know how to work a certain plug, I will literally stop fishing, walk up to them, and help them. Like, being courteous, having common sense, and just being, like, respecting your surroundings and your fellow anglers, that's how it should be. There shouldn't be any anger or jealousy that the dude next to you just caught a fish. You should be supporting your fellow anglers because realistically, we're all fishermen and we're all in the same community. And we're all, like, trying to catch fish and have a good day.
Very well said, Jenny. Listen, real fast before we go, we're up against a hard break. Your choice of weapon. Now, again, we narrow it down. Little Dee Marie, she has a little surf bag. She has whatever in there. The travel light. This is going to work. That's going to work here and there. I've seen people out there, again, you're learning, okay? Guys with the big trucks in the back with the tackle boxes the size of my Xterra in the back of their U350s, whatever. But is it a case of, can you be overgunned? Keeping it simple, you want to get, say you have an hour and a half on the tides. What are your go-tos this time of year? This now through into December, your go-tos for beach lures?
So I have Ava jigs, like the green tail Ava jigs. I have my swim shads, and I have a glide bait, and I have, like I said, the tsunami twitch bait. Mm-hmm. And I did a great video, if you look up my open boat, called the Hitchhiking Surf Caster. I talk about all the plugs that I have. Like, I have a pencil popper too, so I can't forget that. But if you check out that video, it talks about me just walking the beach with what I have on my surf belt.
That's it. Yeah.
And driving on the buggy.
Yeah, that's it. Now, me to surf, listen, chair out. Okay, where's the clam? Where's the bunker? Here, rig's here, ready. Zoo! In the holder it goes, and then, okay, man, I'm hanging out. And there's Demon. She's reading the water. She's running up and down. Well, Jen, also, now, keeping the bass. Yeah, and the whole thing now with the 20, and the bonus tags are available. People, you didn't get by October 31st, you know, didn't apply, you're not going to get them. But you see the thing, you know, one guy was just really ragging on this other guy, younger guy. Like, why are you keeping that? Because the guy says, it's 30 inches, it's legal. Yeah, but it's people like you killing fish, blah, blah, blah. It's causing this whole thing, blah, 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 blah. Harvest. It's there to, you know, these biologists have come up with this archaic, to me, slot, whatever, but what's wrong with taking a bass home for dinner? There seems to be a growing sentiment against that. I don't understand it.
There's a lot with, like, the catch and release factor, and, like, it's different for everybody, but if you have a family to feed and you get a keeper striper and you want to feed your family the fish you just caught, then that's fine. I see it as like hunting. You're feeding your family like the deer meat that you just, the deer you just shot. So it's like, if you're in that situation where like you need this fish to feed your family or feed yourself, then that's fine. But when it gets like overly excessive, like with poaching, which, you know, you hate to see, that's when it gets to be too much. People keeping short fish, it's like when it comes to keeping stripers, you have to measure accordingly. And then just in general, like unfortunately, I saw this on the beach just the other day. When you have a fish and you're not going to keep it and you go to release it, do not throw it in the water, making it do backflips in the air. Like literally lip it, cradle its belly, put it in, hold it by its tail until it's ready to send off. Like, come on. Like, hey. Like you need to like be like, just be good. Do what you're supposed to be doing to keep the fishery alive. And just have respect for the fish you're catching.
Okay, Jenny, well said. Listen, we're up against a break. One last question, Ackerman. You know, I'm a sandbagger. How many, you working at boat shows? You got the schedule for this coming year for 2026?
You already know. You're going to have me on again to talk about all my seminars. And then you're going to be working with me, of course.
Listen, this is the coolest.
Show season.
Sorry, Hutch. Sorry, DeBona. Sorry, this is the coolest person to work with. Guys come through, hey, what about, I said, ask her. She gets more fish than me. That's a lot of fun. You take care. Happy Thanksgiving. Best to mom and everybody. Tell Kyle
Thank
I said
you.
Hi.
I and, will. Happy and, Thanksgiving.
And we'll see you soon, Jen. Take care.
I'll see you out on the surf, Tom P.
Oh, yeah. Hey, listen to me. Denise says you look like a, when I'm in weight, she says you look like a manatee. Oh. I'll see you later, man. Take care.
I'll see you. Thank you.
Bye. Yeah, check out her video, open boat video series. A lot of fun. Be right back. Rack and Fin Radio.
Saturday morning in the locker room with Billy Schwein producer Nick Earnshaw and former Kansas City Chiefs wide receiver Dave Klemic join me in the studio. The Eagles-Cowboys square off Sunday, and we'll get you pumped up for the game. Hour 2, Mr. Negadelphia P.J. Kordachek's in, brought to you by the Vassar Pool Service. Mr. Negadelphia opines on Philly sports. Next, we'll get our high school athletes in the spotlight with Fran McLaughlin, brought to you by the Philly Pretzel Factory VHT. Sixers, Flyers talking more. It's the locker room with Billy Schwein Saturday morning from 10 a.m. to noon on 97.3 ESPN.
Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. on 97.3 ESPN.
Yeah, the surf fishing is hot. It's going to stay that way with the bass, or at least hopefully through December. Hey, you're inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Weekend of November 22nd and 23rd. Hey, you're tuned in 7 to 8 a.m., 50,000 meg of far-reaching watts of the Rack and Fin Radio message, 97.3 ESPN FM, streaming live, 97.3ESPN.com. You can download the 97.3 app, or go to Apple, Spotify, YouTube, and other platforms, and the Rack and Fin Radio podcast will be up. Usually it'll go up on Saturday afternoon or Sunday, and all the shows of the past year or whatever are archived, so anything you missed, it is out there and ready. Now, remember, earlier segment we had on Bud Thomas Treasure, outstanding organization, Hunters Helping the Hungry, and we mentioned one of the participating butchers down there in Camden County, Bringhurst Fine Meats and Catering, 38 West Townsend Road in Berlin. Personal experience, people, with that. I picked up a deer last year. Impeccable job. This isn't a, I'm telling you, it's impeccable. It's an endorsement. Impeccable job. Made the mistake of going in the shop, right? Oh, and what happened? What do we have here? Meat cases everywhere with stuff that made my eyes get as big as saucers. The young fellow behind the guy, everybody was great. It happened to be, I believe it was sausage week or something like that. And I said, do I have to get a pound of each? Can I cherry? He says, sure. Okay, give me one of those. Give me three of those. Give me two of those, four of those. Make a long story short, pick up the deer. I get impeccable job. Get home. Eastbury opens up the refrigerator. He says, what's this? I totally says, wow. So always grilling me. Oh, I don't care if it's snowstorm, middle of February. I'm out there on a grill. Grill up a selection. Brought it in. She said, what did you do? I said, I went in the store and this was all on. She says, oh, boy, you really went overboard. After her second bite, she said, is this all you bought? Oh, that's how incredible this sausage selection was. Very special guest in line, great guy, is Jeff Bringhurst, owner of Bringhurst Fine Meats and Catering. Again, 38 West Townsend Road in Berlin. Jeff, how you doing? That's a true story, man. We went through all that sausage in two sittings.
It's amazing. The new flavors, everybody are looking for something new, and our sausage meisters, they come up with something almost every week, and people just love it. And like you say, the grilling season really helps that out also.
And listen, when I drove up, I thought it was back at Nino and Papua's ranch down there in Valley View, Texas. There was an actual Texas Longhorn in the back. Is he still there?
Yes, we actually have three of them and just had a new addition about a month ago. I wanted something 20 years ago that people don't see in South Jersey, so we got the herd of Texas Longhorns, and they are out there pretty much for show and tell. And the one biggest one's out there is about 2,000 pounds, and we've had him for about 14 years.
Yeah, I remember now, adjacent to Papua's place was Uncle John's, and I'll tell you, Jeff, this guy had the black and white wholesale. I went there. He had the meanest cattle. They would wait for you at the fence and try to sneak under to go to the catfish pond in the back there, and they'd try to hook you up. Well, Jeff, listen, the establishment is it's a big, you know, destination place in South Jersey for your products and stuff. How long has Bringhurst been in business?
My father and my uncle actually grew up here on the farm, and they moved to this farm here in 1908, and the business officially started in 1934. I am second generation, me and my brother, and my nephew, which is third generation, is coming on now and taking over. So, yeah, we've been on this same location since 1908.
Let me ask you this, Bringhurst, are you ever not crowded? Like,
yes, we are not crowded at 6 a.m. in the morning when I get here. It's not crowded yet. But, yes, on Saturdays, we are always packed. Like you say, everybody comes. They like the fresh-cut steaks. They like the sausages. They like the service. I've got a great crew on the counter that know how to cook. They know how to tell you how to cook, and they know their meats. And people really enjoy that.
And the deer cutting is second to none. I've had deer processed all over. I used to try to do it myself till I left one of the thumbs in the in the stew meat, whatever. So I stopped that. But I was very, very impressed with the package and everything. It was fantastic.
Good. Yeah, we do right now. We're doing about 1,000 a year for hunters that are coming in, you know, this time of year, packaging. And again, the sausage has been a growing thing with the deer, where people don't want to do the roast, they don't want to do the chops, but everybody in the family likes the sausage. So we do about 13 different types of venison sausage also along with that.
Reliable information, people, intel from an impeccable source that there are customers there who have just the Bringhurst, their entire deer made into Bringhurst pork roll? Is that true?
We do a pork roll, but if you don't make it with pork, you got to call it venison roll. So, they have the whole thing made in the venison roll or snack sticks, or we do a summer sausage, a jalapeno summer. So, you know, lots of different stuff. But, they'll get the whole thing made into that.
Join us on the Rack and Fin line. This morning is Jeff Bringhurst, owner, Bringhurst Fine Meats and Catering, 38 West Townsend Road in Berlin, part of one of the butchers and hunters helping the hungry. Before we get to that, Jeff, you gave two outstanding seminars. I missed them, unfortunately, September 26th and October 3rd. You gave a deer butchering workshop in conjunction with Fish and Wildlife's R3 program. Man, you cut deer there as part of the side business, but giving those seminars, that's something.
We do a lot of seminars, not only for New Jersey Fish, Game, and Wildlife and Hunters Helping the Hungry. We do it for culinary arts schools, homeschooling. Wow. We're very big into the 4-H seminars for young kids getting into agriculture, wanting to raise the beef, the pork, the lambs, and we'll do seminars for them throughout the year also. The deer seminars were something we started last year with the request of Hunters Helping the Hungry, and it takes the hunter through the field dressing from the time they harvest the deer in the woods to cutting it up for their home freezer. We find that it's very helpful for them to save as much of the meat as possible and learn how to do it right. So we did two last year. We did two this year, and we're actually signed up to do two again next year.
That's fantastic. Well, Jeff, let's get to giving back. But getting to the Hunters Helping the Hungry program, as Bud Thomas explained, you know, everything getting inspected, whatever, health department, what have you, there should be more doing it. And how long, you've been on there, on the roster for many years, have you not?
Yeah, quite a few years. I don't know when we exactly started it. I think it was like a year after they actually started Hunters Helping the Hungry in New Jersey. Great program. to actually use meat, because a lot of hunters go out and they just like to hunt, or they don't like the deer meat, or they get too much for their own freezer, and it's a good way for them to be able to give back to the community. And everything that we do process goes to the South Jersey Food Bank, and most of it goes through the Pitch Grove Food Bank down south. But they just love the deer meat, the people down there, and they're always calling us, have you got enough ready, you know, for us to come pick up. So it is a good program, and it is a way for the hunters to give back, hunters helping the hungry. It works well for the Department of Agriculture because it encourages more guys to take deer that they really don't need, which are affecting the crop growth and things like that. And be able to give it to a worthy cause.
Jeff, off the top of your head, about how many deer a year do you cut up for the hunters helping the hungry?
I think we did 40 to 50 last year. So in rates of weight, you know, you're looking at a couple thousand pounds of protein meat. So, you know, that's a good addition there to what they usually get.
Listen, join us online. Jeff Bringhurst, owner of Bringhurst Fine Meats and Catering, 38 West Townsend Road in Berlin. You're in South Jersey. Have a deer. Hunters helping the hungry. You can bring it there or get your own deer butcher there if you don't want to do it. Impeccable job. Absolutely flawless. But just I'm warning you, you go into that store, have your cards ready or water, because you're going to want, Bringhurst, I'm not exaggerating, you're going to want everything. Absolutely great stuff, Jeff. Thanks so much for joining us on Rackman. How's your Thanksgiving shaping up?
We are very, very busy. We've got 2,000 turkeys being unloaded right now.
Whoa,
refrigerators are full, and we are actually sold out of fresh turkeys for Thanksgiving already. Everything that's come in is already spoken for. So, yeah, we are going crazy at this point.
Hey, listen, let me ask you this. Are you ever going to have a Bringhurst cookbook out or Bringhurst cookbook video out?
We actually started that last year for our 90th anniversary.
You're kidding!
Recipes from all of our employees, and we are in the process of putting that book together right now.
Hey, man, you need any reviews, call Tom P. I'm ready.
You got it. You got it.
Jeff, take care. Happy Thanksgiving, and best of all to that fantastic crew out there, bro.
Thank you very much. Have a great Thanksgiving.
You too. See ya. It's just a fantastic place and very, very easy to get to. What a job. Okay, man, be right back. Rack and Fin Radio. Grab that cup, grab that rebel. Do we have time for some fishing reports? What's going on? We shall see.
Unsportsmanlike with Evan Cohen, Chris Canty, and Michelle Smallman.
Rocky IV is amazing. The scene where he's in the car after Apollo Creed dies and he's so upset.
Spoiler alert.
I need to put a spoiler alert on that.
I've never seen it.
2025.
I never saw it.
Michael B. Jordan did three movies as his son living after the dad died.
Guess I don't need to watch it now.
The movie's 40 years old, Smallman.
Wake up weekday mornings with Unsportsmanlike with Evan Cohen, Chris Canty, and Michelle Smallman. On 97.3 ESPN. Rack and Fin Radio with Tom P. On 97.3 ESPN.
Yeah, back inside Rack and Fin Radio with me, Tom P. Closing it out weekend, November 22nd and 23rd. Let's see what Captain Dave the Rave Show, Lipsika Bay Sports Center, 81 Natalie Terrace in Lipsika, has to say. I believe he is on the water. Cap, what are you finding or not finding? What's up?
Well, it's just too short a time between our storms, I think. This weather has been anything but productive for the striper fishermen. I've been picking every day, but it's been a slow pick. But the good news is I know they're still on the way down. I'm seeing plenty of bait around here, but the fish just ain't got in to find it like I like them to.
Okay, like you said, they're going to be arriving in numbers. I heard of another flush of fish coming in all the way up top, and they'll be making their way down, hopefully down this area by the end of next week or middle of next week. What do you think?
I think it can happen any time. We've had a constant westerly wind, so it should keep the bait in close, and hopefully we'll keep them in right out front, and hopefully they'll sneak through the inlets, because I much prefer to fish back here.
Yeah.
It's a lot nicer, especially when they're biting, but they will be. I'm confident.
Okay.
I've seen a lot of years. It'll be here.
Okay, Cap. I'll talk to you next week, man. Thanks.
Okay.
Let's jump down to the way cool Hands 2 Bait and Tackle, 970, New Jersey, Route 109, with Big Nick. Big Nick, what's happening, brother?
Shaping up, doing a nice fall down here. Finally got some nice weather this weekend. the Todd Fishing's been off the hook down here. The local wrecks, the guys are doing great, getting their limit out there. Some nice tog. I've seen some come over 13 pounds already this season. Nice bonuses that we had some of those big stripers come through.
They made it down. All right. Nice.
Yeah, that hard west wind kept some bait to the beach and seemed like we had a little bit of action down here.
Nick, were the guys at Diamond Jigs, Plugs, what?
Diamond Jigs and Plugs, yep, that's been working. Right around the inlets has been the best bet, but still some action in the back. But
I was just
on the beachfront.
I was just going to ask you, anything happened in the back beachfront? You know, the fish are tucked in close, huh, chasing the bait?
Yeah, we had some nice taking off some Furminators, some metal lip swimmers.
Nice. Okay, Nick, man, how's it look for this weekend?
Looks like we got some nice weather coming, so, get your hook sharp, and, should be good for those tog, and hopefully a couple more stripers come through.
Yeah, before I let you go, what's up with the killer pooch, man? You taking anyone down again lately?
they're coming in with shin guards down here.
I have to ask you. You take care, man. Happy Thanksgiving, brother.
You too. Thanks. See you.
Okay, let's wrap it up with Bogan's Bait and Tackle, 11 East Main Street, Suite 2 in Tuckerton, a.k.a. Route 9 southbound. Travis Bogan, what's happening, little brother?
What's going on, man? How are you? How you been?
A lot cocked, ready to rock, man. Your bait's outstanding, but what is happening? Let's talk stripers. What's happening with the bass?
Well, we got some bass starting to move into the area. There's been some nice fish caught off the beach in LBI on the chunk bite. And in front of the Red Tower in Beach Haven, there's been some bass being picked up on the troll. Stretch 25s, mojos, bunker spoons. The things are starting to really, take shape down here.
Okay, Trav, you hearing anything on the, because it's critical. Some guys, use if it ain't chartreuse. Other guys, white is the bite. Other guys stay with a bright yellow. On the mojos, any color preference you're hearing?
Nah, it seems like it's been green or white.
There you go.
Same thing with the spoons. So
okay, now besides the chunk bite and the surf, you hear anything on poppers or diamond jigs in the surf?
Yeah, guys are picking them up on A27s and 17s on the diamond jigs, and poppers have been great, especially purple at night.
There you go.
NLBN's been good. And then in the river, guys are still picking away at bass on eels and paddle tails.
What, down the Mullica?
In the Mullica, yeah.
Eels and the paddle tail. Listen, on the NLBN, the paddle tails or the straight tails?
The paddle tails.
Any particular color? Green back? Kilo, what? Don't tell me the hell yeah white butter. Hell yeah butter. No, what is it with that?
Hell yeah. It's been hell yeah butter and purple. So.
Okay, Trev. I'll see you, man. Yeah. Have a good weekend.
All right, you too.
Yeah, that dude this week on Rockefeller Ray, I had to get that in. New shop there, nice guy. He's doing well down here, and the fishing is picking up. God bless America. God bless our troops. God bless our first responders and law enforcement. Happy Thanksgiving. Have a great holiday. Eat and drink like you're on death row, man. As my lovely D. Marie says, you are not promised tomorrow. And don't forget, trout be in stock this Tuesday down here in South Jersey. Birch Grove is going to be hot. See you next week. Rack and Fin Radio.